Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi and welcome to Why Did You Make Me Watch That with me, Holly Frew.
And me, Ronan Moorfield.
Hi, Ronan.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. How are you?
Howdy doody.
Are we a little delicate today?
We are a little bit delicate. I went and saw James Bond.
Yay! So did I.
We should talk more in a minute.
Yeah. But go on, tell me about the origin story of your hangover time.
Origin story is that after watching said movie, we needed to obviously debrief after. So we went to the nearest boozer and just kind of drank our faces off a little bit. But like, it was one of those things. It was fairly tame because there wasn't very many people there. It was, you know, it was one of those kind of like, we'll just have like a quick chat and then head on, you know, possibly like bus home, that kind of thing. And then the last one kept on being like, we'll have one for the road. So this is going to be the last one for the road then. Yeah. Okay. Oh, sure. Look, they're going to be finishing up now. Okay. So like one, this has to be the last one, you know, because they're finishing up now. But like, it was actually, you know, a load more drinks than I was planning on having. But you know, them's are the breaks.
Those are the best nights. The ones where you're like, oh, one more, go on. And it just keeps getting better and better. That's why you stay for one more.
But then the productivity level then today was just like absolutely not happening. That's the only problem.
It's God's day. It's a day of rest.
This is true. But how was your weekend?
It was good. Well, I'm in work at the moment. I'm on my lunch break. So work has been a large part of this weekend. But before that, I too went to see James Bond. What cinema did you go see it in?
Dundrum.
Yes, I went to Liffey Valley.
Oh, yeah. That's a great cinema, though.
It is. It's good cinema. And hot tip for anyone who's in the area, Liffey Valley used to be crazy prices in terms of the cinema tickets. Not so much anymore.
Really?
Yeah. It used to be like 12, 13 euros a ticket. Now it's 6 euros.
Six? But did you go on a specific night? Was that a cheap Tuesday thing?
Every film, every show, 6 euros. That rate. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I don't know whether they're just trying to get people in the door because of COVID, but it's happy days. Like,
wow, that's a great tip.
It is. So
if I knew that, I probably would have been like, guys, let's go to Liffey Valley instead.
Yeah. Although you wouldn't have the boozer nearby. I don't know, there is a boozer there.
I was able to actually just get a lift down to Dundrum fairly handily, whereas I would not have been offered that.
Liffey Valley's quite a way away from you, yeah, true.
But, you know, I mean, yeah, like, it is what it is. I guess if you're kind of like, want to hang out there, do a bit of shopping and then go in for a movie.
But now the Tal is closed for good, apparently.
Is it? The UCI is gone?
IMC are pulled out and they're looking for another couple
UCI. It hasn't been UCI since about fucking 1996.
Sorry, their age there, Holly. Now IMC pulled out and during COVID they said they weren't going back and now they're looking for another company to move in. But yeah, no sentimental for the foreseeable.
That's a pity. It's really like...
It is a pity because that was kind of the cinema I grew up with and I'm kind of bummed about it not being there now. So
that's crazy that... That's gone. It was such a massive part of like the square.
It used to be all there in the square. Now it's not.
Now it's not all there in the square.
It is not all there. So yeah, what did you think of James Bond? Go on, give us your quick assessment.
Quick assessment, wasn't expecting much.
You wouldn't be the biggest Bond fan, would you?
Yeah, but like I actually have quite enjoyed Daniel Craig's movies. And so I mean, you know, I just kind of feel like they're really kind of upping their game in terms of the storyline and everything.
100%.
Whereas and just I guess like just with technology, like all the sort of the effects are looking really good. But like, I have to say, I really enjoyed this new Bond.
Me too. Yeah.
It was like story, from everything like storyline to stunts. It was 2 hours 40 running time. Mm. And I was on the edge of my seat, like through the whole thing. Like, yeah. I didn't feel the time going by at all. Do you know?
100%, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. It's it was a good night at the movies, I have to say. And it's been a long while since I enjoyed myself with the film, at a film at the movies that much. Like, it was really good.
Yeah.
It was not what I was expecting from a James Bond film, but at the same time, the new stuff that they'd done didn't feel out of place, which is good, like, you know, because there's loads of stuff in it that you've never seen in a James Bond film, but it doesn't go against it around the kind of, yeah, it was, as you say, they upped the game in the story. So yeah, well done.
Yeah, I definitely think he's kind of like, they definitely have made him more of a human man, you know, rather than this kind of robot, wooden kind of character.
Indestructible killer machine sort of thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like they made him actually sort of, they made him like literally in like just a normal, they brought human. His humanity back.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
Yeah. So it's definitely worth, and the thing is, you really are getting your money's worth. Like, you're getting it on the screen, you're getting the entertainment factor for like 2.5 hours, you know, so it's worth going to see.
And it's a genre on itself. Obviously, James Bond films are like, yeah, it's an action thriller, but they really are a kind of style of action film that they're along to themselves in terms of like, they keep doing these films like as practically as possible. You know, like with stunts being done actually on set and, you know, all that kind of stuff, gadgets and all the rest is kind of semi-realistically. That's why I enjoyed them, because they harken back to a more practical kind of filmmaking.
Mm.
But, and this one is very much up that in that vein, I would say. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, very good. So there we are. That was your first trip back to the cinema in what, 2 years?
Well, no, I went to see that.
Oh, no, you went to see the kids' film. Yeah, yeah. That doesn't count.
Yeah, that kind of doesn't really count too much.
Because you weren't there for you. You were there for kids.
It was just, I was a support factor involved in facilitating young babies to go to the cinema.
Very true. Very true. So, yeah,
that was my first one.
We'll be press on with our scary movie season. Yeah. What are we now? Week 3 or week 4? What are we?
This is, I think it's
our third week, isn't it?
I think this is our second week.
No, we've done 2 for 4 now.
Oh yeah, we did. Sorry. Yeah, so this is our third. This is our third week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, we're doing Halloween movies for all of Halloween month, which is October, obviously, and this is now third week.
Yes.
Are you getting sick of Hollywood or horror films, I should say?
No, not really, to be honest.
No?
It's like, yeah, they've kind of been, like, my first one was Midnight Mass, so, and then it was Dawn of the Dead. But, so I haven't really, it's not really been, like, overkill, pardon the pun.
Don't find the pun. And totally intentional.
Intentional. Intentional pun. Pun intended.
Yeah. Of course.
So am I going first? I can't remember. Are you going first?
I can't remember either.
I think I could have gone first the last time.
Yeah, sure, I'll go first this time. It's no big deal. All right, cutie. So do you have my choices there? Because I don't.
Yes. So Things Heard and Seen on Netflix. Heard and Seen,
that's right. Yeah.
Or Halloween, the 2018 version.
Mm.
Not the 1978.
Not the 1978. Well, unsurprisingly, I went for Halloween.
Ooh.
Yes. And this has been on the list for a while, and I was gonna actually watch it and recommend it for you, but you got there first. Bit of a crash course in the history of this film. So obviously the first one came out in 1978, and this film basically purports to be a direct sequel to that film. So this basically undoes the second film and all the films that came after it. The second film originally was also a direct sequel to that first film, but it was set on the same night. And yeah, it was more or less just a continuation of the story that happened in the first film. But now that's not canon anymore, because in that film you found out that Michael Myers was supposed to be Jamie Lee Curtis's brother.
Yes.
But that's not canon anymore. So basically this is a direct direct sequel to the first one. All the other films are undone, essentially. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it's 8 films, basically. Yeah. They're just basically screwing out of the history. There was 8. They kind of tried to do this very same thing back in 2006, I think it was. Was it 2006? 2000. Where is it? No, sorry, 1998, I beg your pardon, with Halloween H2O.
Oh, yeah.
So, basically, where they basically just on the 20th anniversary of the first film, they released a film purporting to be a direct sequel to that. And that also starred Jamie Lee Curtis. And that was kind of like an attempt to sort of bring Halloween back to the whole renewed teen slasher genre that had happened around then, you know, like the Scream films and I Know What You Did Last Summer and all that. So they brought that out, and it was a moderate success. It was mildly successful. But the proportion of that film was that they basically just brought Jamie Lee Curtis back. And she came back on the pretense that it'd be like, we're killing him off in this film. You know, I want to bookend my storyline with me killing him off. And they were like, grand. So, and indeed, at the end of H2O, she does kill him off. And that should have been the end of it. But of course, it made a ton of money. So it wasn't the end of it. Producers are like, we want more money.
They're like, so people are interested.
They made another one after that, which is a direct sequel to that, which undone the death at the end, ridiculously so. It wasn't very good and it wasn't very successful. Then they rebooted it again with a different director, a different storyline, the whole lot. And that was crap. But they
you also, watch all of those?
I have seen them in the past, yeah.
Okay, wow.
They're not very good. I wouldn't recommend watching them now. I'd recommend going through their Wikipedia synopsis just to see how silly the whole series got, like, especially in the 80s, it gets crazy, like. But anyway, so the reboot then comes out, that was 2012-13, I want to say. That was directed by Rob Zombie, and it was crap. So basically just tried to make it a whole grunge, you know, gory sort of rock video sort of thing, like, you know, it was crap. So they let it lie for a few years, and then we get Halloween 2018, which, as I said, is a direct sequel to number one.
So they've just been like, let's just erase all of those
ignore all the rest. Yeah, all those other films are done. Yeah. So they're not canon anymore. And the difference this time around being is that they have the involvement of John Carpenter, the original writer-director. Now he's back. He's back as one of the producers. He's also on board as one of the composers because he actually wrote the original theme tune, the Halloween theme that we all know.
Yeah.
He wrote that. He was a composer for that back in 78. So he's back as one of the co-composers in this film. So he's kind of given his blessing for the whole, what they're trying to do with this film. It's directed by David Gordon Green and co-written by Green and Danny McBride, who up to now will be largely comedy.
Yeah. Duo. I didn't realize he was actually involved in this.
Yeah. So obviously they were responsible for things like Pineapple Express and other stuff that's all just like, you know, stoner slacker comedies.
Yeah.
Not
at
all.
This is the end.
Yeah. This is the end, shit like that. Like, you know, all that was basically their wheelhouse up to now. So this is their first attempt at being serious kind of filmmakers. So they're basically going at it as a sequel to the first one, and they're very much copying the style of the first one in terms of like the, you know, the camera work and the cinematography and the score. It could be basically made by Carpenter because it looks so similar to the film in 78. Like, even the opening titles are the very same logo and font and the whole lot, like, you know. It's they're very much nailed the look. So the story picks up basically. Michael Myers has been institutionalized for 40 years since that night where he basically killed 5 people in the first film. So he's been in an institute since then.
Yeah.
Starts off with a couple of reporters who are, I think they're making a documentary of some sort or some sort of crime podcast, it looks like. Is that what they're making? Yeah, they're making some sort of crime podcast anyway. So anyway, they gain access to the hospital to interview Michael Myers and the doctor who's looking after him. And one of the podcasters essentially has the mic, the mask that he wore in the first film. And he basically pulls it out of the bag to show Michael Myers. He doesn't look up or anything, but the whole other patients in the hospital basically go nutty dargle when he pulls out the mask. Like, so it's obviously having some sort of effect on the people there.
And it's it's very well shot, that scene, because you don't see his face. Michael's face.
You never see his face. Yeah. Whenever he's not got the mask on, you never see his face. You just see his shape. And in fact, they call him the shape, because that's essentially how he appears to most people. It's just a shadow or a shape in the shadows, essentially. So you never see his face without the mask, essentially. Nothing happens there at that point, but the podcasters then leave. They're obviously on the hunt for some sort of breakthrough or some sort of scoop that they can make a documentary around. They go visit Laurie Strode, played by Jamie Lee Curtis. Now, at this point, Jamie Lee Curtis's character has essentially gone full Sarah Connor since the first film. She's basically holed up in her own fortified house. She's got guns. She's got, you know, steel bars in every doorway. She's full on in this one. Her life has suffered because of it. You find out that she's had two failed marriages. Her child was taken off her when the child was 12 because essentially she was teaching the child how to, you know, use guns and stuff like that in preparation for the day that Michael Myers would finish the job and come after her. She basically just turns into a gun-obsessed hermit for what it would appear to the rest of the world to be. And they get nothing out of her when they go visit her at the podcasters. But we do find out that at some point during those first 20 minutes that they're moving Michael Myers to a worse place than he's been for the 40 years, somewhere far less interested in exploring his mind and just basically interested in locking him up till he dies. So, we get introduced to other characters as well along the way. So we get introduced to Laurie Strode's daughter, who's played by Judy Greer. And her daughter, who's played by Virginia Gardner, I think. Yeah. And is it? No, wait, hang on. I have to get that name right before I'm wrong. Andy Matichek. That's right.
All right. Are you talking about the daughter? Yeah.
The granddaughter, essentially. Oh, yeah. Or the daughter of the daughter. So we get introduced to these two characters. Judy Greer is married, has this daughter who is basically, they're all living in Haddonfield, which is the town where the original was set. We get introduced to a few people who, you know, are just going to be basically, you know, cannon fodder for Michael Myers later on. And getting to know them is literally their only purpose, so they can get killed later on and you give a shit, like, so.
But I love the fact that he's being transported, because that is like the legit breakout reason for most.
And there's a lot of cliches in it, but the cliches kind of, they're not cliches, but they're kind of like tributes.
They're backed up. Yeah.
Yeah, they're backed up and they play it as tributes to the cliche, essentially.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of a knowing, this is a classic kind of slasher horror film. Like, you know, it's not like, it's not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's basically just saying the wheel is pretty good and we enjoyed the cliches, essentially. So,
yes.
That'd be the best way to put it. But anyway, so we get to know, you know, the granddaughter who's got a few friends who are just your typical shitty teenagers. And there's a big dance going on. It's Halloween night and it's all setting up to be, you know, slasher fair fodder and all that shit. The bus transporting Michael Myers crashes. He escapes. A Jeep pulls across to the side of the road and Michael Myers kills the people in it, gets the Jeep, chases after the podcasters, follows them to a gas station, kills the two of them and gets his mask back. And that's it. He's back in the game as Michael Myers. And because it's Halloween night, he just loves the mask. He can't do without it. So,
And of course it is Halloween.
And it's Halloween night. So he can walk around pretty much, you know, unsuspected because everyone's wearing a mask. Sort. But of course, he immediately gets back to Haddonfield and starts a killing spree of largely innocent, unsuspecting people. But obviously his end game is to kill Laurie Strode and finish what he started 40 years earlier. And that's pretty much it. That's the good yeah. story. I'll leave it there because I can't.
That's really a really good rundown.
Yeah, but it does end. It does go to a good ending. And that's yeah. I think that's probably my biggest. Like I did enjoy this, and that's my biggest issue is that, like the one H2O that I mentioned. The premise of this film is that the only reason for telling the story is that they actually finish him off. You know.
Yeah.
And of course, we've got the sequel coming out next week, which is Halloween Kills, it's called.
Yeah.
So it turns out it's not the end, which they did market this film as being, you know,
yeah,
the end of a story, the final one. But of course, it never is. So obviously, they don't kill him. He's still alive come the end of this. Again, not a spoiler because the sequel's coming out next week. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So the sequel's coming out next week. Now, as it turns out, the sequel is the second part of a trilogy, a planned trilogy. And the sequel to that is already made and coming out next year.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got Halloween, you've got Halloween Kills, and then you've got Halloween Ends, which will be next Halloween.
Okay.
And they're all made, they're all ready to be released. So I have to hope that they know what they're doing, because had it been just this film, it would have been probably the best of the whole series.
I really enjoyed this as a total standalone.
If you take it on its own merit, it's brilliant. It's really, really good. It's a perfect sequel to the first one, and it's done in such a way that it pays tribute to and then, you know, makes better.
Starts. On the yeah. I remember I was watching it and it was just one of those things where I was like, kind of like, you know, I'm not a mad horror sort of fan, but it's more on the edge of your seat kind of thriller as opposed to like, yeah, I'm going to have nightmares about this. So it's like,
There's some really good jump scares in it, but as you say, it more leans into thriller than, you know.
And it has a very good storyline.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. It's not slacking on the story either. And the characters are believable and,
they're filled and out like
one of the big things that where horror films for me of this kind of fall down is like the lapses in logical judgment and the stupid excuses that people or the stupid things that people do in these films. And you know,
yeah, I was like, oh great, yeah, run up the stairs,
yeah, all that kind of shit really annoys me, like, you know. But and there's very little of that in this film. There is some of it, but it's kind of light on the whole, you know, ridiculousness just to serve the story sort of thing. It kind of plays out quite logically, and the characters also are quite logical and not realistic, idiots.
Sort of.
Yeah, and realistic. Nobody's an outright idiot or anything, like, you know. So
maybe one of the kids.
One of the kids is a bit of a dick. Yeah. I know who you're talking about, and anyone who watches this will know exactly who we're talking about. But aside from that, everyone kind of, you know, holds their own in terms of their character and stuff. So that again, also refreshing. So yeah. Yeah, I just, had this been its own film, it would have been great. But because I know there's a sequel coming out, I kind of have to reserve my full opinion on it until I see the sequel.
And then the trilogy.
And then, the trilogy as a whole. Well, I mean, it's all depending on the next one. If the next one's good, then you're like, I'm all in for this whole trilogy. Like, you know, they've done their job and they obviously had a plan from the start.
But
if the next one's shit, then you're like, oh, they were just making up as they go along. And they've done exactly what the last crowd did with H2O. Had a good idea that they ruined. I'm glad you made me watch it because it kind of reinvigorated my interest in this whole thing.
The fact that it's, you know, it's a Halloween, like it's a Halloween classic.
It's the Halloween classic.
Halloween.
Yeah.
And then the
Halloween classic. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And like, I, when I watched it last year, I was like, wow, I just really enjoyed it, you know,
because he was like the original, and he always is like the Michael Myers character has always been like the original sort of masked boogeyman.
Yeah,
because he started that whole thing, like, because then you have Friday the 13th and Jason Voorhees and all that shit afterwards, which are pale imitations, like, you know.
Did you ever watch the thing, you know, it's part of that series, How Did They Make That or something along those lines,
the thing on Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a new season out and one of them is Halloween, isn't it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
I only watched a bit of it. I can't remember what I was doing, but I turned it off anyway. But like, they just got
the moves that made us. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a great, it's such a great series. If anyone hasn't seen it, to just dip in for like half an hour and you get a real insight of like how the films that we loved like were made. But
the first season is very annoying because the voiceover guy doing the first season is like this very annoying American guy, you know. But then the second and third seasons are being narrated by Danny Wallace, who's an English presenter.
Yes.
And much, much more palatable. So yeah. But
but yeah, they talk about the choosing the mask and, you know, like when they were doing wardrobe rehearsals and stuff for Michael Myers's hockey mask.
Did they mention it being a William Shatner Star Trek mask?
Oh, they did? Or did they? I can't remember now exactly what they were, what all the other options were now.
Yeah, because the one that they like the actual face itself was molded off. It was originally a William Shatner Star Trek costume.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and like that's, they just like,
created into a sort of a hockey mask.
That's what it, like when they bought the masks and all, they were just part of like dressed as Captain Kirk. Like,
oh my!
And that's god. Why the mask vaguely looks like 60s William Shatner. Like.
Before he went up in space last week.
Before he went up in space, like, yeah. Now it looks like him now, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's all, like, bloated and wrinkled.
Yeah. After Michael Myers has gotten bashed up a little bit, like, that's what his face looks. Wow.
Exactly, yeah. But the only thing that really annoyed me, well, no, it didn't annoy me, but it kind of bothered me, because when you think logically, Michael Myers is 60 years old in this film.
Yeah,
you're like, Jesus, he's pretty fucking spry for a 60-year-old.
I also kind of was thinking that as well, just in terms of, because there is a lot of physical, you know, it's not just kind of like shooting a gun from afar.
No, yeah, he's killing people with his bare hands, no problem. Yeah. Like, yeah. And he's taking a hit as well. Like, he gets shot and he gets his hand shot off at some point, and you're like, this guy can move and he can withstand a beating. I don't know what the secret is, but I want to.
Well, I guess, like, you know, 60 is the new 50, Ro.
Oh, apparently so. I didn't think he had much of a gym there in that psychiatric hospital, but he must have, like, he must have been doing something right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. But he actually looks like a big guy. Like, that actor is, like, a fairly big, like, quite athletic-looking guy, even if he is a bit older. Do you know what I'm saying?
James Jude Courtney. That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
There you go. Well done. Fair play to you.
He's actually played Michael Myers in the other films as well.
Yeah.
The earlier films. So.
And no one ever knows what he looks like because he's never shown his face on anything.
Never. But there you go.
There you go. Well done.
Yeah. No, I'm glad I met. Glad you made me watch it. Is the moral of the story.
That's the verdict.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's on Netflix. So if anyone hasn't watched it, go watch it.
Oh, actually, it's not on Netflix. It was on Netflix.
Oh.
No, it's not anymore. Every other Halloween film is on Netflix except this one.
Oh, where did I watch it then? I must have watched it on something else.
You did? Yeah, it was on Netflix because I was Googling it, and some countries still have it. That's what I had to do. I had to turn on the VPN and watch it from Netflix Germany.
Oh, okay. So it was on German Netflix.
So if you're in Germany,
I thought it might have been actually on Disney.
No, definitely not on Disney. No.
Okay.
No.
Cool. So my choices this week were Slither on Amazon Prime or The Cabin in the Woods on Netflix. And I watched The Cabin in the Woods.
Ooh, okay. Interesting.
When I'm watching a few of these, I'll actually like write down a few sort of like one or two things just so that I kind of like know.
Couple of points of interest. Yeah.
Yeah. And the only thing I wrote after this film is berserk. That was like
this film is berserk.
Yeah. Like that is the rundown. But
it's certainly unexpected, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I went in with this. I have seen trailers for the movie and I've seen you know, just like your basic like picture on various social media, whatever, because it came out in 2011. It's directed by Drew Goddard. It's technically a horror comedy, but I don't know. It's sort of, yeah, I guess it is a bit sort of more. I think all horrors have a slight element of comedy in them, to be fair.
The good ones do. The good ones
do. Yeah. But yeah, so it was directed by Drew Goddard, written by Joss Whedon and Drew Goddard as well, and then produced by Joss Whedon. So it's got like a quite a good backing. Yeah, so when I saw pictures of this and trailers and stuff, I kind of had this impression because of the lineup. So the main characters are basically a group of college kids that go to
a group of cliches,
basically. Total cliches, like the jock, the pretty cheerleader, like a kind of nerdy girl, stoner, and kind of Hawkeye. I don't know. He's like, I guess he's kind of the nerd guy, but he's like, he's movie nerd guy, so he's super hot as well. But Ronan's like, yeah, he's an attractive man.
Yeah, he's super hot.
And
are you talking about Hemsworth or the other guy?
No, the other guy.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. He's like, yeah, the sensible but yet hot guy.
Yeah, he's like the sensible.
Whereas Chris Hemsworth did that, and he's just like ridiculous but stupid hot guy, like, you know. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you have all those cliche guys, and it's like they, what you call it, Chris Hemsworth's aunt or cousin or someone had a cabin in the woods. And they could all stay there for the weekend. So they're all like, yeah, cool, let's do this. And they rent an RV. And so that's kind of all I knew about this film, is that, you know, this kind of typecast group of friends from college go to this cabin in the woods. And then obviously, like, loads of terrible shit happens to them. So I was kind of going into this movie a bit like, okay, this is just going to be like, kind of a teen slasher kind of thing, you know, nothing really to it. I'll watch it and just report back. And it's fucking anything but that. Like, it's actually totally, it just got me totally like off guard. So it's essentially that the group of college kids, mates go to this cabin. And it's in the middle of nowhere, and they stop off like in this sort of one horse town, like petrol station, and just to fill up the tank. And it was just like served by this absolutely horrible man. And so it's just, you know, they're going into something terrible. And then we see like the cabin. And all the way in the background as well, you're seeing Richard Jenkins, who's also hilarious in this, and another one of his colleagues. And they're like
Bradley Whitford.
Yes.
Again.
And also very good. So you see these guys in suits in this kind of office sort of talking, it's a
command
about
station.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, what have these two groups of people got to do with each other? Like, how are these going to be linked up? And you kind of realize then that Richard Jenkins is talking about the group that are going into the cabin. So, yeah, basically the plot follows a group of college students who go into the remote forest cabin, and then they fall victim to a load of zombies while technicians like Richard Jenkins and his team manipulate events from an underground facility. So it's,
so basically they're operating the whole cabin in the woods scare house sort of thing.
It is
unbeknownst to the students.
It's all like a massive and this all happens within like the first 20 minutes, so it's not actually a spoiler. So
you can't really talk about it without saying why everything is happening the way it's happening.
I know.
Yeah.
So it's like the cabin is there and the guys unknowingly go into it. But it's actually like a massive, it's almost like one of those mystery house, or what are those games called? You know, when you go in and do a game in a room.
Escape room.
Yeah.
Type, is it?
It's
but they
like,
don't know. Like, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't know what's going on, but it's kind of like an escape room. And so there's people in the background that know and are controlling the situation, and they've got like legit real life like zombies on hand, or they have
I love the scene where they're taking they're taking bets on which obviously it's up to the students to, like, you know, accidentally uncover whatever horrors are going to befall them, like, but they do it themselves, like, through whatever actions they take, and like they're in the office taking bets on which horror they're going to unleash.
Yeah,
you know, is it going to be the zombies, or is it going to be like the werewolf or the merman?
Or the merman. The merman. Yeah. Like, what the fuck is that about? Like, so.
Which is a gag that plays off in the end. It's very good.
Yeah. So, like, it's. Yeah, they basically then. So they unleash, like, zombies by accident, like, unknowingly. And they just kind of live their. They exist for a bit, and then the zombies start attacking them, and it's like a massive kind of like fight then for their survival against this family of zombies. Yeah. And while
everything's being manipulated,
the guys in the control room then are just kind of like setting things off to, I guess, trap the teenagers to essentially, like, hopefully they'll all die.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like this really, really berserk. Mm. Like,
and as you say, it just gets mental after that. Like,
yeah. I literally was watching it going, like, this is the most berserk thing I've ever seen in my life.
I know.
Just from going from like a very like one dimensional storyline is what I was envisioning, like, this film to be. Just, you know, you're they're going to go to a cabin, and they're going to get attacked.
To go into that, like,
they're going to get attacked 100%. By like an axe murderer, and, you know, and then they're all going to die, and that's that, and, you know, but the fact that like this whole thing is being an absolute like mind game, like a really mad elaborate escape room that's been designed is just it's really crazy, but it's really enjoyable. Like it actually it wouldn't be super horror. It is very gory at certain times, and but it would be it's quite funny in some places, especially like just with the blasé treatment of the teenagers by the control room. They're just basically like, oh yeah, so like, you know, just openly talking,
it's just another day at the office for them, like, you know?
Which is very good. It does have, like, you know, it gets more elaborate in terms of, you know, certain events that happen. So, like, I won't give too much away just in case anyone hasn't seen it yet, even though it was 10 years ago now. So,
now, if people haven't seen it, you don't want to ruin it for them, because,
but it is on Netflix. It is worth a watch. Definitely. It is not the boring, very one dimensional storyline I thought it was.
Yeah. Nice little cameo at the end as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Because, again, the whole film kind of plays on the genres of horror films, like, you know, the different types that there are. It kind of plays on what you expect, and then kind of dumps everything on its head, like. And the cameo at the end is a real tribute to all that kind of horror moves of the past, like, you know.
Yeah, very much. They all are, I guess Chris Hemsworth is probably like the biggest name.
The main girl in it, she was in House of Cards, wasn't she, for a bit?
Kristen Connolly.
Yeah, she was in House of Cards, I think, for a while.
Okay.
before she got killed off, I'm sure. Yeah, she was. She was, the senator who gets sort of set up by Kevin Spacey. She was his secretary, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's there.
But apart from her...
It's largely unknown.
And Chris, I didn't really... I've never really kind of seen the other guys before.
Mm.
Yeah, but definitely worth the watch, I think.
Mm, I agree. It's wonderful. So I'm Halloween glad
that
nerds.
You made me watch that.
Good.
What are you saying?
I said it's one for like horror film nerds. I'm sure horror film nerds have seen it already, but if you like your horror films and you haven't seen this is, you'll very much appreciate this, I think.
Yes. Yeah, especially because it actually really talks about... You know, sort
kind of
other,
to horror films.
Yeah, it kind of is a culmination of loads of different horror films.
Definitely.
So yeah, it's for a horror fan, it would be right up your alley.
Indeed, I agree. I'm glad you like that. Now, it could have been a Marmite situation there. But...
Like I watched it during the day because that's my safe space. to watch anything.
I also watch mine during the day. Yeah.
Yeah. Just in case. And
you can't be too careful.
No.
You can't.
No.
Yeah.
So I think but actually I think I probably could have watched it at nighttime. Pardon?
I said you're mad bastard. Watching
I know. Scary. but yeah. So do you have films for next week?
I surely do.
Oh.
Mm, excuse yourself.
Okay.
Do you have films for me?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Next week is going to be our 25th episode.
Oh.
Quarter century.
Quarter century, yeah. I was going to say. That's cool. Okay, so your films are... I'm going to give you one that I've already given you that you turned down.
Okay.
I want to give you another shot of it. I'm going to give you Attack the Block on Netflix.
Oh yeah, is that or Channel 4?
Well, Netflix would be our best bet.
Okay.
Because I went to look for it there in the All 4 app and it wasn't there anymore. So
okay,
it's definitely. But I'm looking at it here on Netflix. It's there now.
Brilliant.
So Attack the Block, or I have to bring up the other one now. Sorry. What was it again? What it isn't now. I know. I hate that. Hang on a second. Give me my two there while I'm looking.
Okay.
For this.
So for you, I have Hush. It's actually the other Mike Flanagan movie because we're kind of like doing Mike Flanagan.
Oh, yeah.
But it stars his missus. And so it's...
What's it called? Hush?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Cool. All right.
So that's one, or Practical Magic, which is on Amazon Prime.
Mm. I want to say that's the one with Nicole Kidman and Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Is that a horror film?
Well, it's a Halloween film.
Oh, okay. It kind of, from what I remember, it was a crappy rom-com, wasn't it? Or is it?
This is about Halloween.
Oh, okay. Doesn't have to be scary, I suppose. It's about Halloween. So yeah, you're right. All right. Fair enough. Okay, so your other one here I found is The Descent.
And
that's also on Netflix. Have you seen it?
I think I have.
Oh, okay.
But I can't think. It's one of those things where I've kind of... Is it just the fact that I've seen it so many times on Netflix? Like, as in the picture or however?
You don't know whether you've seen it or not. It's about the six girls who go... cave diving.
I think I have seen it, but I think it's been a long time ago, so I think I might...
Do you want to take it anyway? Yeah,
I'll take it anyway.
Oh, okay.
So that's cool.
Yeah, you have the Attack the Block either way. So
yeah, and so yeah, yours is Practical Magic on Amazon Prime or Hush on Netflix.
Cool. Thank you.
You are welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes. Cool. So what's your plans for the week? More college?
More college, more group projects. We have like our first CAs as well.
What's that mean?
And
pardon? What's a CA?
A class, like assessment or course assessment or whatever. It's like, so most of our subjects, we have three per semester. So I have four subjects and I've gotten three out of the four. I have like projects for three out of the four subjects so far.
And now that you're in college, have you identified all the different social groups, the nerds, the jocks, the cheerleaders?
It's all online. So
all right. There's no actual campus for you to.
Well, there is technically a campus along Westmoreland Street, but it's not, there's no in-class classes at the moment.
All right.
Not yet.
And is there a crusty old dean trying to ruin all your fun or anything like that, man?
Just like old school. Like, I just want a party. And he's just like.
Yeah, he's just like ruining your shit. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's his name? Dean Pritchard. I can't remember
what Pritchard, yeah. But I love the way they keep calling him Cheese, because that was what they always called him as a nickname. Kid. Like, yeah, like, all right, Cheese. Yeah, it's not that anymore. I don't call it.
So good.
I must rewatch that, yeah.
I rewatched that recently on Netflix because it's just like such a classic, but it's just so easy to like nip in and out. So
there'd be no initiation rituals for you or to get into some sort of
probs? Not
no alpha kappa data shit.
Very good.
I'm running through all the college cliches in my head here.
Yeah. It's just, you know what? It's horrible though, because like my job really gets in the way
of you having fun.
Yeah.
So the job is the crusty old dean in this scenario.
Yeah. My job is just really annoying me at the moment. So it's just, you know, it's very difficult for me to try and have a good time and do college with work being in my way all day.
I know. You just want a party. You just want a party.
You know?
Why would they let you party?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh dear.
I know.
We had fun.
You have some days off now.
I do. Nothing big on the agenda, I don't think. There was actually, speaking of college, I recently made contact with all the people I went to college with.
Oh my god.
Actual college, like, which is now 20 years on. So, and we're talking about having a reunion in the coming weeks, which is going to be a trip.
Oh.
Yeah. Like a lot of those people just like, you know, went to Canada and blah, 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 and they're at home and all. It's like, holy Christ, it's going to be weird.
Yeah. So. And did a lot of people like just fall off the face of the earth? Like when you left?
100%. Like, yeah. Oh yeah. Some people I haven't seen since college. Now a few of them I traveled to Australia with straight after college, like, but like, You know, you fall off the radar for different things and all the rest for different people, and yeah, it'll be weird to see them all again. But yeah, we're gonna plan that for the next couple of weeks. And
a night in town, no doubt.
I will report back.
Yeah,
what shenanigans we get up to. No doubt, it'll be like, you know,
be great though.
Yeah, it'll be like college style ragers and frat parties, and
then you'll all be like,
it'll be six of us sitting in Grogan's. Guinness and reminiscing about how fat we all are.
it'll whittle down to six, because even though like 20 will be on a Facebook group, it'll be like, you know, oh, that doesn't suit me and that doesn't suit me, then it'll just
can't get a sitter and all the shit. So, real life interjects, as they say.
Yeah, well, I hope that planning goes well. Sounds interesting.
Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, it's good to see folks that you haven't seen in a while.
True, very true. All right, cool. I think that about does it. What do you reckon?
Yes. So you can follow us on our Facebook or our Instagram at Why Did You Podcast, or you can always send us an email at whydidyoupodcast@gmail.com. If you want to give us any Halloween recommendations as well. That would be awesome. Okay, so everyone have a great week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
Bye.